morning. I want to welcome all of our visitors here this morning. Please know that you are honored guests. It's good to see Brother Johnny out and about. I know he's been struggling with his health for the past several weeks, almost a month now. And we thank God for the progress that he's made so far. He's got the whole world in his hands. It's a feel-good song that probably all of us know. In 1958, it topped the Billboard chart as number one in the entire United States. And it was sung by a 13-year-old boy named Laurie London. And since then, it's been sung by countless other artists. In fact, it is one of the best-selling gospel songs of all time. However, I believe that it could be misleading. Who has the whole world in his hands? Notice, if you will, 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Whose hand is the world in? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who has the world in his hand? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you see where this question's going? Who has the whole world in his hands? You know, we may even sing the song that God has the whole world in his hands, and yes, I understand. But truly, who has the world? Paul says that in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Again, John chapter 12 and verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. In John 14, verse 30 and 31. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. We live in an evil age. Paul writes again in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. Failing to have this world view, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because of what? The days are evil. Failing to have this world view that the world is evil, wicked, is very dangerous for Christians because it can lull us into a false sense of security rather than seeing the urgency of our mission. Look again, if you will, up to John chapter 14 and verses 31 through 32. Hereafter I will not walk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do arise, let us go hence. Notice, if you will, the fact that we do live in an evil age. Don't we? Again, notice, if you will, Satan is involved in every aspect of our world. Satan is in business, the business world. Satan lives there. Satan lives within our politics, right? Satan even lives in our recreation. Music. If you don't believe me about the music, turn the radios on and listen to some of the music today. The arts. The media. Nations. And yes, even in religion, Satan is involved in all of these things. Again, involved in business, politics, recreation, music, arts, media, nations, and religion. Until we know what we are up against, we won't understand how much each of us are needed. Many are flailing ineffectively because they are trying to reform the world rather than proclaiming the gospel. Let me state that again. Many are flailing ineffectively trying to reform the world rather than proclaiming the gospel. Many are trying to rid the world of racism. Racism has no part in religion. But we look out in the world and we see perhaps the racism that's going on or the perceived racism, and we get all puffed up that we want to destroy it. Well, then we look around and we see sexism. We see ageism, abortion, homosexuality, injustice, immigration, politics, sex trafficking, homeless, illegal drugs, alcohol, criminal activity, stealing, murdering. We want to do away with those things, don't we? But because we are trying to fundamentally transform the world, I believe we have forgotten what we are as Christians. We have forgotten what our mission is. And that is to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The gospel. If we proclaim the gospel, if we are active proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's going to take care of racism. It's going to take care of ageism, abortion, homosexuality, injustice. It's going to take care of those things. But too many times we get so involved in trying to better the world and get rid of all of these things that we perceive that's wrong, and we fail to proclaim the gospel. Am I right? Didn't Jesus reverse all of these things at the cross? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, we are. We're alive in this world. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So, yeah, John, right there, it proves that Jesus done away with all this stuff. Well, no. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Spoiled there literally is disarmed. And then we see John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. We all want peace, do we not? Peace in the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The war's been won. Okay? The war's been won. But the battle is still being fought. Not the battle against racism. Not the battle against sexism, ageism, abortion, homosexuality, injustice, immigration, politics, homelessness, illegal drugs, alcohol, criminal activity, stealing, murdering. But when we look at this, in John 16, 33, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Well, you and I, because Christ has overcome, we have a chance. And it is through Jesus and His blood that we have the chance. Jesus won the war, but the battles are still being fought. Not against all these things that I just talked about, but the battle is being fought to save men's souls. If we are actively proclaiming the gospel, many of these things, I would say all of these things, would go away. Because in Christ, there is no racism. Each person in Christ is a brother or a sister. And you can go on down the list. So what does Satan do? What does he do to stop us from evangelizing? Now, I want each of us, and I'm going to include myself, I want each of us to stop and think about what is keeping us from evangelizing. What's keeping us from telling our family, our neighbors, our co-workers? What is there in our lives that's stopping us from proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Well, maybe this is some of the things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Do you believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ can transform this world? Do you believe that? I know the world is big, so let's bring it down smaller. Do you think the gospel of Christ can change this town? Do you believe or do you think that the gospel of Christ could change a family member? What about a neighbor? You know, too many times we look at all these big things, racism, sexism, and all the other isms, when in reality what we need to be doing is looking at our neighbors, our family, proclaiming the gospel to those who we are associated with. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What hinders us from proclaiming the gospel to those that are around us? First of all, maybe it's fear. I don't know enough. I don't understand enough. But perhaps, maybe, you know somebody that could help. Let us not be blind to the power of the gospel. Then we can say that Satan distracts us. Look at Matthew 13 and verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it away that was sown in the heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. This is part of the parable of the soils, the sower. It's actually the parable of the soils. The gospel was sown, but it fell along the wayside. And it didn't have a chance to grow up before it was snatched up. Too many times, Satan distracts us. We may have good intentions to proclaim the gospel. Oh, but man, this show that I wanted to watch is coming on TV tonight, and I just can't miss it. Or, you know, the ball game's coming on. Too many times we get so distracted with the things going on in our life that we fail to proclaim the gospel. And with this verse, even those that perhaps you're proclaiming the gospel to, they are so distracted that it goes nowhere. But that's on them. But if we allow ourselves to become so distracted that we don't even try, then we're going to have a problem. Satan deceives, doesn't he? Oh, it's not that bad. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Deceivers, those who literally will say and do whatever to get the upper hand, those who will simply do whatever is necessary to make you be quiet. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. For there shall arise a false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the elect. Do we have people like that today in the world? Yeah, we sure do. All you got to do is believe. God didn't expect you to change your life. All you got to do is believe. Does he not hinder perhaps even mission work? Matthew 13, verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, many people say, well, you know, let God deal with it. But the problem is, when we have people that hinder us, we want to do some good work. We want to proclaim the gospel. We want to take the word, the gospel, to the community. Isn't there always someone who says, well, now wait a minute. We don't want to go quite that far. We might offend somebody. Who do you think is behind that? Look at, if you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire, wherefore we would have come unto you, but I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Brothers and sisters, if Satan could hinder the Apostle Paul, what makes you think he's not going to hinder you or me? He hindered the great Apostle Paul, but yet, many times, does he hinder us in what we're trying to do? Do we go out in faith? Or do we sit back and say, well, you know, it might work and maybe it won't work, so let's don't try real hard. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do you think Peter meant that just for his generation? Do you believe that Satan is still out and about roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour? Whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same devil, the same Satan that was in the world from the very beginning. Isn't he still here today? Doing exactly the same thing that he was doing the whole time Christ walked on the earth. The question was asked at the beginning, who has the whole world in his hands? Brothers and sisters, I believe it's Satan. Satan has the whole world in his hands. And because of that, each and every one of you is very much needed to overcome the power of Satan. Not only in your lives, but proclaiming the gospel to those around you. If you don't think this is true, or if you think it's useless, let me remind you of this. 1 John 4, verse 4. Ye are of God. Little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes, Christ won the war, but the battle for men's souls is still raging. Let us be a part of the solution. The gospel. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let us not get sidetracked by secondary matters. Rather, let's keep our focus on proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the death, burial, and the resurrection. So this morning I ask you this, in whose hands are you? If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, I hope this lesson has shown whose hands you're in. If you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see in your life that you need prayers of the saints, for whatever reason, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?